This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, loader works, rental works, yeah! Big dog's got it.
John Parker Wilson on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, John Parker Wilson.
And the former Alabama quarterback, now analyst on the Crimson Tide Network, joins us at this time each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. JP, what is up, man? How are you?
Man, guys, I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Doing great. Thanks a lot. Obviously, a difficult loss for Alabama down at Auburn. Entertaining football game that had a lot of ups and downs. A difficult loss, and Alabama's in a position, frankly, John Parker, they're not used to being in. They're not in the playoffs, not in the SEC championship game, maybe not even in a New Year's Six bowl. I guess the bright side of all of that is, if that is a disappointment, that means you've had some pretty good success in the past.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I was thinking about this more. This is kind of like uncharted territory for a lot of Alabama fans. With the SEC championship this week, and it's like, okay, well, you know, LSU and Georgia, okay, I guess it's just people are used to this being time where they're getting ready to make an Atlanta plan, so it is different. But I saw one of the recruits tweet out, he was like, man, I am pretty proud that my school is going crazy, where they were 10-2. And I think that kind of does tell you where the program's at and where Alabama is and the expectations and what makes – you know, Coach Saban's so great, I think, is those expectations are so high. And if you aren't playing for an SEC championship or college football playoff, then, hey, it's almost time to go back to the drawing board and see what's going wrong. And I think having those expectations is what makes a sustainable program like he's been able to do for over a decade now.
The projections right now, Citrus Bowl against Michigan or Outback versus Minnesota, I mean, for a fan base and even for you being affiliated with the team, part of the broadcast team, I mean, it's hard to get excited about that.
Well, I think with where our team's at and with how many young people played, I think there's a lot of things to look forward to the future, right? And there's a lot of people that are going to be playing next year that didn't get a lot of playing time this year. For me, I think going to Florida is a great thing, though. I think a lot of fans could say that, too. So selfishly, as having to make the trip like a lot of people will, those two spots, in my opinion, are pretty good.
So let's look back at the positives that can come out of a loss in the Iron Bowl. You got a lot of Mac Jones in that game to watch. Finally, against a quality opponent, we saw what he could do. Obviously, there were two pick sixes. It's hard to flush those. But just overall, what did you see out of Mac Jones?
I thought Mac played really well. 26-39, 335 yards, 4 touchdowns, but the 2 picks. The first one was a bad throw. The second interception on their goal line, to me, is experience more than anything. It's knowing, okay, when you break the huddle, ready break, you're going to the line of scrimmage and you're saying, okay, it's 1st and 10, the worst thing that can happen is the interception. And not that specifically, but kind of knowing the situation in the game, hey, if I get heat, I gotta throw it two rows deep in the stands and move on. So that's something you can learn from. What I learned from him, though, was you throw 2 pick sixes in a game against your biggest rival, making your first road start against Auburn in that place where, I mean, that's a difficult place to play. The way he came back from those interceptions was pretty unbelievable. Coming back and just ripping it and not even thinking that he had thrown 2 interceptions or interceptions at all, handled himself really well. Besides those 2 balls, I think distributed it really good. Down the open guy, moved the team, didn't panic when the game was on the run. You know, Kevin Steele, who's a great defensive coordinator, who runs a lot of different coverages and blitzes, dialed up a lot of different things. And Mac, from the first time he went in the game against Tennessee, when Jeremy Pruitt heated him up and Mac wasn't ready for it, when Kevin Steele did it, he had made night-to-day differences in progression. And for me, Kevin Steele, it was, I think, in the third quarter, ran a cover 0 blitz. Mac just sat in the pocket, tossed it up. It was kind of a jump ball to Jalen Waddle, but being able just to diagnose everything was going on, to me, you know, he showed what kind of player he is, what kind of player he will be in the future. And I think what kind of player he's been the past 3 years with his preparation to get ready for this, because you just don't show up a couple weeks ago after Tua gets hurt and have the development that Mac Jones did.
John Parker Wilson is with us, former Alabama quarterback, now analyst on the Crimson Tide Network, is on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. He appears there courtesy of our friends at Craneworks. Look for that big dog down off the Red Mountain Expressway. You mentioned the 100-yard return and, you know, pressure from Big Cat Bryant. That one's probably got to go in the shrubs or the fifth row or whatever. On the first pick six that looked like a really, really bad throw, I was talking with you at halftime, bumped into you in the press box, and you said that was just a read situation, that Jerry Jeudy read one thing, Mac Jones read another. Mac took the blame for that. Obviously, Judy's probably going to get it right. That guy's got a lot of games under his belt. So that's really just an experience thing too, right? I mean, a little more experience and both of those throws might not happen.
Yeah, because he throws it so good. And I haven't seen too many errant balls. He hadn't had a ton of chances, but he goes up there and he's a pretty accurate passer. We always talk about how accurate two is. But sometimes when a quarterback has got to cut the ball, release it from his hands before the receiver is out of the route. So especially on that out route, like what was happening for that play, it's, okay, he thought Jerry Jeudy was going to go on a high angle. Jerry thought it was more of a flat angle. So that's two completely different trajectories on the ball that you have to have. And that is the ultimate confident throw, is throwing the out route where the cornerback has plenty of time to react if it is a bad throw, the deep one especially. So that to me is another one that you learn from moving forward. And, you know, interceptions are bad when it's like, you remember Sam Darnold a few weeks ago said he was seeing ghosts in the NFL football game? Those are bad interceptions when you don't see the guys. When you're going through your reads and a safety falls off and you're like, holy, where'd that guy come from? The ones that Mac threw, you can learn from. And I think even throwing those picks, I just keep going back to how he came back and how a lot of players in that situation would have immediately started checking it down. Okay, then a few drives later, start throwing it downfield. He didn't. You know, the first chance he got, I think the next ball he threw after that Jerry Jeudy touchdown was hitch and go to Henry Ruggs down on Auburn's sideline. So he didn't let it affect him. To me, that was pretty sweet.
A lot of speculation how many of these guys will come out and go to the NFL after their junior season. One guy that Alabama fans don't have to worry about is Jaylen Waddle. Is there a chance, I mean, just based on this season and the flashes we saw last year, that after next year we consider him one of the greatest offensive weapons that Alabama's ever seen?
You know, I think a weapon is the exact way to put it, because the guy just is getting the ball. And one of the things that we started doing was doing more jet sweeps and putting him in different positions. But I think next year he's really going to shine, just because he's going to be the guy. Right now he's got to share it with three other guys. I know Mechie will probably be the next biggest receiver for us next year. But man, I think you're exactly right. I think with you throwing his kickoff return ability, his punt return ability, and then how many more touches he's going to get on offense, I think we're going to do a lot of different things with him. And I know there's a lot of records to be broken, but he has a chance to get close to him next year, just because I think we're going to feature him not only in the receiving game, the slot receiving game. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets more carries out of the backfield also.
What does it say? Because Auburn is obviously, that's an extremely talented football team. Those are highly recruited guys that are really, really fast, and they've watched Jaylen Waddle on film time and time again, and on the long touchdown reception and on the kick return, those guys had no idea what kind of angle to take on him. I mean, that speaks highly of his speed, right? Because those are NFL-level potentially players that were making those poor reads or poor angles.
Sneaky speed is the call, right? Because they had – it looked to me like two guys had angles on him, and it was going to be tackled around the 20 or the 15-yard line, and he just continues to pull away. Like you said, that's one of those things you see on tape, but when you get out there, it's like, holy smokes, this guy's way faster, and you got to make an adjustment as you go on. So he, that might be a little bit from lack of film on in the receiving game, but man, once he gets that corner, he's gone. And I know Ruggs and Devontae get a lot of the credit for the speed, but Jaylen showed us a lot on Saturday against Auburn. So like you said, LT, we're guaranteed to get him back next year, and I think that's one of the highlights, because if you look at the skill position, especially on offense, we're not speculating, but there's a lot of guys that have the ability to go to the NFL in a few months. So it'll be interesting to see who decides to leave and who continues to stay, I think a lot of that's going to be decided on who's going to play in the bowl game. So I kind of am looking forward to that bowl game to see who we're going to have on the roster next year.
All right. I know you're not a doctor, but you played the quarterback position. Tua Tagovailoa yesterday says his hip issue, the thing that affects it the most is the rotation inward, right? That he says, you know, I can play 100%. I'm just limited a little bit. I will be going forward with my rotation inward. Do you worry at all about mechanics with that? I mean, he said he's going to play 100%. It wouldn't affect him running. He didn't really address his throwing mechanics that I heard. I mean, is that even a concern at all, do you think, with that motion?
Yeah, because, you know, Tua's release is so fast, and it's because he's really utilizes his lower body. I think, you know, that was one of the things we always talked about when he had his ankle injuries was, well, he uses so much torque in his lower body. How is that going to affect his ankles? But now it's even more so in his hips, right?
Right.
And that the inward motion is when you kind of turn your hips and the bones coming back into your body. You know, I think it's one of those things that if it is painful or hurts him, you could probably change your mechanics a little bit to alleviate some of that pain. So, you know, I think Tua is such a good passer. He's such a natural passer that if he says he's going to be 100%, there's no reason I wouldn't believe him. But you can change things up along the way. I mean, we've seen pitchers in baseball, and I do know quarterbacks in the NFL that go out to whatever quarterback coach say, hey, I need to change my mechanics and make it more efficient. So if it's less efficient with a hurt hip, well, let's increase the efficiency by doing something else. But his arm strength and everything else is there. So I don't see how long-term, I know it's a hip injury, but I think he can make some corrections to make it work.
All right, he is John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, now analyst on the Crimson Tide Network. He joins us each week, courtesy of our friends at CraneWorks.
And CraneWorks has offices in Birmingham, Mobile, and Nashville, and CraneWorks is ready to serve you with a full line of rental equipment for jobs both big and small. And don't forget that CraneWorks has something the other guys can't. That's qualified operators for all their equipment, including the aerial and the earth-moving equipment. So check them out at craneworks.com.
JP, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Roll Tide, guys.
All right, that is John Parker Wilson with us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline, a superior light beer with low calories, carbs, and zero fat. Live life to the ultra.
Interact with us on Twitter at Jocks Roundtable.